Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
As Luke said, I'm Mike Brinkman. I love stories. I love to tell stories. I love to hear stories. I love the complexity of stories. I like the characters as they share their passion, their motivation, their journeys, their success, their failures. And so as today is Global Sunday, we're just going to talk about the story of global outreach at Westgate. Now, the problem is that's a big story, and there's no way we can get that whole story in a morning, even in a day. And so I brought a couple examples. I brought my backpack this morning. Everybody knows my backpack? Because I had to bring books. Because oftentimes we communicate stories in books. And one option is we could do all of Westgate's story and just have one gigantic book. And say, this is the story of Westgate Outreach. Now, just so it's clear, because people oftentimes get confused, this is not the story of Westgate Outreach. This is a dictionary. From the 40s. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to do a dictionary of this size in the 40s without the modern copiers, without internet? That's a whole nother topic. This could be the story of Westgate and outreach, because there's been a huge history. And I'm going to use outreach and missions just interchangeably today, so just know that I mean either or when I say those words. And so we have a huge history of outreach. And so a big, giant book like this could have different chapters for different opportunities that came along. Each chapter could be a different ministry area. Could be chronological and just say we start from the beginning and we go to the end, and we even look into the future of what kind of things God may be leading Westgate too, and how has he led us and faithful in the past? Because it's a big story. And so we could take a book like this and say, this is our complete history of Westgate, and we're just going to look at a couple chapters this morning. Or, when I was growing up, I read Louis L'Amour books. I don't know how many of you have heard of Louis L'Amour anymore. Thank you all the old people that read Louis L'Amour books. Louis L'Amour writes Westerns. It's all about Western expansion and the challenges of developing and discovering America and the cultures that were prevalent. And so some of these, when I was in middle school, I read them, and I still have lots of them. So if you would like them, they're just sitting on a shelf. So I would love to share those with you, that especially those may have read it and think, I could do that again. But some of those stories, they're just smaller books. And there's these couple stories could be at the same time, and this guy could be in one city, and this guy could be in another city, and they kind of are doing the similar things at the same time, but they don't overlap. There's others that are more of a series where one is the character, and then the next one is that same character doing something else. And so as we talk about what is the story of global outreach at Westgate, I think we're just going to grab snippets of it today. And we're just going to focus on global. And so just know every time I say global outreach, I could say local outreach, and we would have similar stories, we would have similar passions, we have similar opportunities. It simply is more in America, in our backyard, as a local piece, where we're really talking about global today. And so I want to share some of these stories. I want to share some of the snippets out of these histories. A couple key insights. This is not a complete list. If we sat up here and said, this is a complete list of what God's doing in global outreach today, we could be here for hours, for days potentially. God is doing some cool stuff with us as a church family, with us as our ministry partners. So there's just no way we're going to talk about them all. I'm going to refer to ministry partners, and I'm not going to really explain who they are or what they're doing. I'm a huge fan of avoiding insider conversations. So I'm acknowledging that up front, that we're having a little bit of an insider conversation today, because when I mention the blocks in Peru, that's all I'm going to say. So if you need to know that information, or would like to know that information, I guess is a better way, you can get some of that on the internet. Quite honestly, I would love for you to reach out to me and we'd get together and let's talk missions, because it's so cool what God is doing. How do we share that story? What's your role in that story? What's my role in that story? And so we'd love to do that if you have that opportunity. But in this last year or so, we've had a number of focuses within outreach, global outreach. We've had several response to crisis. Turkey had a major earthquake, and we have some ministry partners that work kind of in that area, and so we've helped them with some funding to reach out. Ukraine, the war there, a lot of the Ukrainians have moved into Poland, and we have a church partner that works in Poland, is working with Ukrainians. You'll hear a little bit about that in a minute. But we've sent some funding. We've also sent a team this summer. In Pakistan, just the last couple weeks, there's been a real crisis with Christians being persecuted. Some of you know Tanbir, who attends our church, who he took some funds that we raised and just went to Pakistan. I'm not even sure he's back yet. He might currently still be there. And so we've been had the opportunity to respond to crisis as a global a church and a global-minded church. We've also had the opportunity to respond to some infrastructure. We're investing in an ongoing school in Peru, in the mountains. There's an agricultural school with the blocks. In Mongolia, they developed a compound there, and they put in a heating system that is not working very well. And so this year they came to us and said, any chance you could help us with some heating? And so we raised some money, and specifically in that situation, we had people who have a passion for Mongolia who came together and said, yeah, we'll help you with that. We'll partner with that. And we raised money for that heat. Those of you unfamiliar with Mongolia, 60 below is some of the winter temperatures. 60 below zero Fahrenheit. That's cold. That's somebody that needs some heat. And so we've helped them with that. We've sent out some teams. Teams that we have partnered with have gone to Tanzania, Ethiopia, Belize, Poland. In January, we're sending our first trip after several years back to, we have another location in Peru with the Savroses that are doing an English language camp. And we're super excited about, we're kind of in that phase of moving past COVID or kind of re-energizing because we can travel and do some of that. And much of that support from this church has been financial. And I just want to take a minute to thank you for that. Because if you looked at the history and the story of Westgate, one of the books, one of the chapters, one of the themes that would run through all that is the ongoing generosity financially. You guys have just always responded well. I'm not saying you don't have more to give. You certainly could do that, I'm sure. But you have, sorry, that's an outreach guy joke. Because, hey, where's the more money? Could we get more money? Or the stereotype of that's what outreach guys say. But the reality is you guys have been generous. You guys have been faithful over the years, and I want to thank you for that. We don't take that lightly. We know that that's a sacrifice that you guys are making, and it allows us to respond, whether it's in crisis, whether it's in infrastructure, whether it's sending teams. All of that is a response because of you. And so I'll talk about that budget piece in a little bit, but the reality is we have given financially, and one of my favorite stories about that is one year we were given buying Bibles for a mission thing. This is a while ago, and we wanted to raise $10,000 for Bibles. And so people, not me because I'm not the creative one, but people put together these big posters and like graphs and where are we at to the $10,000? And we took an offering and we raised $10,000. So they put in all this energy, and the next week, we're done. So... excellent graphic for three minutes. So some of you have given financially. Others I know have given prayer support. When there's wars and trauma and all that kind of stuff, or we just know that there are missionaries out there who may be lonely and struggling, who may need the Spirit on an extra portion that day, many of you are prayer support and praying for that. Some of you connect individually with missionaries and are on their teams and support teams. This year, a couple things. I'm a former youth pastor, so I get excited when kids get excited. The youth ministry this year raised money for digging a well and for people that they'll never meet, they don't know, that don't have water. And so some of them gave of their own funds, Others, a group came over to my house, and I paid them to clean out some of my attic and that kind of thing. We had a great time, and that money just was donated then to the well. And so they put some energy into how do we care about other people. The kids' ministry downstairs put together care packages for all the missionaries this year and gave them to them, and are in the process of developing pen pals with the block school in Peru. And so I love the fact that we are a church that part of our story is we love kids getting involved, youth getting involved, adults getting involved, families, all of those things. And your generosity and your time and investment and certainly in your finances makes a difference. So we're going to hear a couple people share their story of their team this morning. So we'd love Abigail and the Snuffers to come up. And we're going to do just a little panel discussion this morning after I clean up my mess. And some of you more astute people will notice that we have a couple different ones up here. That's because we had three people on the panel, so I said we need three stools. And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm up there. So I'm using a chair because we only have three stools that are matching. So I appreciate your awareness and flexibility of such things. So we're just going to go through and have people. Can you guys introduce yourself and just share a little bit about what you did this summer?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, just look it up. Yep, there you go.
So I'm Abigail Compton. I'm 16. I'm a junior in high school. And I've been going to Westgate Church for like 14 years, I think we figured out.
I'm Mary Snuffer. And Mike and I, this is Mike Snuffer, we went to Poland this year. And we've been going to the church for 28 years about.
The Snuffers also have twins, and one of their twin children just had twins, so.
Yeah.
I love twins and triplets when other people have them. It's really exciting.
I have pictures if you want to see.
She thought to bring some today. Yeah. So, Abigail, why don't you start just telling us what you did? What kind of things did you do in Belize?
So we went to Benque, which is like a two-hour drive inland. We did a VBS for the kids in the local area. And then we also did like a, ooh, there's us. Yep. We did like a food and supply, like house supply distribution.
And then were you involved in any of the prayer stuff when you went around and prayed for people?
Yeah, so during the food distribution, we met up with the people and we talked to them, we met them, we heard their stories, and then we got to pray over them. And there were some really cool experiences in that.
And this is where I've heard the story twice from a high school student, and both of them buried the lead. The one picture that probably will roll around again is this woman in a bed with her legs stick out right there. And the first time I heard the story is, oh yeah, and there's some woman that had some problems with her feet, so we prayed for her. These are high school kids walking around another country, praying for people who have needs. It just doesn't get much more exciting than that, of their opportunity to feed people, to care about them, and to pray and experience God's movement in that. So, will you guys tell us a little bit about Poland?
Yes, we got to go to Poland and work with Spiszek and Edita, which some of you guys have met before. And we did a family English camp. So we do a camp through babies, through grandmas and grandpas. And we stay in a hotel, and we teach English, and we use the Bible through that. Mm-hmm. Do
you
want to
say anything? You did a great job.
And will you tell a little bit how you team with other churches and stuff?
Yes, we had a group about 20, I think, this year. Five of us was from this church, and then a couple others from Minnesota, other different churches. And then we partner with a church in Iowa. There was probably about 15 from there, well, a little less than 15.
And anybody can answer, but will you just tell me a little bit about how did you see God work? Did you see his hand in that? How did you experience him in some of the things you did?
So for me personally, I learned that like worship has no language. We were able to share a couple of the services with them, and they were singing songs in Spanish, and I don't know very much Spanish, that I knew the lyrics to in English, and it was just so cool, and we got to share like our faith with everyone in the room.
Thanks.
I think what shocked us was how, you know, at our camp we had half Poles and half Ukrainians, and God's Spirit just showed up from the moment we've got there. You know, when we first started doing camps, we'd spend the first 3-4 days just building rapport with people and opening the doors to spiritual conversation. But when we got there, our team was telling us from the first day, I can't believe the spiritual conversations that these unbelievers are driving because they just, you know, they want to know who God is and how to relate to him. And so just a real sweet time, a sweet atmosphere, and God's Spirit was clearly working long before we showed up. So that was really neat.
And you had a significant response to people responding in faith.
We had about 99 campers, probably 25, 30 of those were, you know, maybe 11 and younger. But the rest, we do a banquet, and to get into the banquet, they have to fill out a little form. And like 34, 35 people said they accepted Christ that week. So it was pretty cool.
And so one of the encouragements I give people as they're thinking about trips and whatever, some of them are, you know, the snuffers stay in hotels, the others stay in camps, some of it's real rustic. I've showered outside with wood walls with a hose that comes up to a shower head kind of thing. It's a variety of things. And some people share food, they pray for them, others are teaching about Jesus. There's just a real variety in that story. And in the story of how God uses us. So what encouragement would you give if people are thinking about doing short-term mission trips or long-term mission trips?
I would say, like, it's more of a question, why wouldn't you go instead of why would you go? I have always really enjoyed sharing, like, everything, like the culture shock and all the new experiences. And I get to do it a lot of the times with my friends and with people I like to be with. And I think it's just more fun and powerful and really impactful in your life.
Awesome.
Yeah, along those lines, I would just encourage you to pray and ask God if there's a place for you, right? And you may be surprised how he answers. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody who's praying about it and maybe starting to feel God prompt, and they say something like, you know, I think I would really love to go. I don't want to take somebody else's place that God has. And it usually makes me laugh on the inside because there's not a long line of people lining up, okay, to go on missions trips. The scriptures say the fields are white unto harvest. Pray for workers. And so if God's putting it on your heart, he's probably singled you out personally. There probably is not a long line of people that would also be liking to go, even if you're passionate about it. And if you go, don't be shocked if God changes your heart. You know, that you come back a different person with you know, a different tool set, a different understanding of who God is and how he wants to work in the world and use you in that work.
And so, again, this is just a snippet. We would encourage you, part of the reason to get people up here is when you see them in the hallway, you go, hey, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. Thanks for going, those kind of things. And so we're going to do a couple different things a little unique this morning. I've asked 3 different people to come and pray, just write out written prayers, one for Belize, one for Poland, and then one for outreach in general. So those people can come up right now. And we would love, as they come and they pray, we'd love for you just to stand with us as we pray. And they're going to read all 3 of the prayers in order, and just focusing on some other opportunities or places.
Jesus, we lift the people of Belize up to you. We ask that you would be at work in their hearts and their lives. We thank you for the family of believers in Belize and ask that they would be encouraged in their faith. May they experience your love and goodness in their lives in an undeniable way. Help them to shine your light to their friends and families and neighbors. And Jesus, we ask for you to be specifically at work in the Benque region of Belize. Help the pastors and the leaders of the church there to impact their community. Encourage them and give them strength as they serve you and serve the people around them. May your love and truth permeate that area. Thank you, Jesus, that we have friends in another country who love you and can open our eyes to teach us and show us more of who you are. Continue to give us spiritual eyes to see the way you are at work here in Belize and around the world. We pray all these things in your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.
And God, we thank you so much for what you did during this year's Poland camp. We lift up the campers who attended from both Poland and Ukraine, and we pray that you continue to work in their hearts, and we thank you for what you did. God, we thank you for the response that you provided for in this time, and we thank you that you were able to provide a way for half of the campers to come in from Ukraine, God. That is incredible. And we pray protection over them as they navigate the hardships within their nation. We rejoice in those who accepted Jesus for the first time during camp this year, and we pray that you would continue to give them the encouragement and the assurance that you love them, you're with them, and that you will continue to provide for them as they pursue you. And we thank you for Mike and Mary Snuffer, who've been equipped and sent to help with outreach in Ukraine. And we pray for continued guidance to them and to the Polish church as they move forward with this camp. Please lift up leaders who can come alongside their efforts as they lead this ministry. And we pray for the many Ukrainian refugees who have had to flee from their homes and find sanctuary in Poland and the surrounding nations. We pray that you would provide the country of Poland and the church with the resources they need to support those who are now living in their country. And we ask that you would provide resources and hope to the Ukrainian people. We specifically lift up the Polish church that we've been working with and the ministry that they are serving for the Polish people, as well as the refugees that now reside in their country. We pray for stamina for Pastor Z and his family as they serve those around them. And we pray again for servant-hearted leaders for them as well to come alongside them as they serve those who have so much need. And we pray that you would give them what they need to do the ministry you've called them to do. We praise and thank you for how you're working in Poland, and we pray that you would continue to move and that people would come to find you in the midst of everything's going on.
Precious, precious God. We thank you for who you are and that you have given us the opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ here in the Twin Cities as well as around the world. We praise you for the ways that you have called our church to be mission-minded in serving your people both here and abroad. And today we especially lift up the missionary families and individuals who you have called to serve throughout the world. We pray that you would give them strength and perseverance as they bless the communities that you have called them to be a part of. We ask for your provision for their needs, both personally and for the ministries in which they serve. We also pray that you would be speaking through them in a way that those around them see Jesus in everything they do, because we know that when you speak, and when you move, everything changes. And we pray for our world. We know that there are so many hard things going on throughout the world, but we also know that we have a God who is the answer. So we pray that you would give us strength and courage to your church throughout the world as they live out your great commission and bravely share the gospel. And we rejoice in all the ways that your name is giving hope, love, light, and life to those who desperately need it. In your precious, precious holy name, amen.
Thanks, guys. Nice job. You can be seated. Go ahead, you can clap. And then we're just going to kind of wrap up my portion of this with some Bible verses. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to say something.
Okay.
I think my voice carries well enough. So I just want to tell you, don't let finances or the lack of finances stop you from doing mission. 9 years ago, I had a job. The Lord provided.
Thanks, Beth. And I'm also a fan of everybody understanding what happened. So Beth McCann just shared she encouraged people, if you don't hesitate to go on outreach mission trips because of finances, and God provided for her through a different job that she hadn't even anticipated. So encourage you to do that. I'm going to finish my portion just with some Bible verses. And instead of just presenting them on the screen like we normally do, I'd love for you to just close your eyes in a prayerful setting and be open to what God may be teaching you, how God may be speaking to you. What is your role in this as we look forward? And I'll read the verses and then just give some setting statements as well. And the first one is just a classic one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God wants a relationship with us. And from that relationship comes verses like Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. And as we're singing to God, I'm going to read Matthew 28, which is famously referred to as the Great Commission. After Jesus rose again, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then one of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 4. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Amen. A couple month ago or so, I spoke on hospitality, and one of my points was excel in your lane, because I love that concept of whatever gift God has given you to serve others. And some of you, that's finance. Some of you just know how to make money. Some of you are just really generous. That's a financial piece. Many of you are prayer warriors and people that understand prayer and have that to give. Many of you are volunteers, and that's maybe a little more local than global, but volunteering your time, encouraging others, encouraging missionaries. There's tons of ways to do that, to be obedient, to respond to what God is leading us. And I think it's clear. The Bible says God wants a relationship with you. He loved us so much he sent his son. We can praise him. We can praise his name. We can share our faith with others. Pronouncing that kingdom of God is a fabulous thing. And then we can walk in our path. And so not everybody's going to go on the mission field. Some of you maybe are thinking about being missionaries full-time. That'd be great. Give me a call. Others of you might just want to try that out with trips. The Snuffers have talked about they've gone to Poland for years. They'd like to get younger and have younger ministry teams. So one of the values of Snuffers sitting up here is you got about 5 or 6 months to ask God if he wants you to go to Poland. And go track down the Snuffers, or let me know and I'll track them down for you. But how are we responding to what God is leading us? And that's so different for each of us. So excel in your lane. Excel in what God has given you. And be obedient to him.